This is a twofold message. The Lord spoke to me very clear that I needed to talk about inner healing and deliverance. No, I don't have it with me. That's all right. Don't worry about it. The message is written on my heart, and I wrote the scriptures down, so I'll use my Kindle, and we'll do it another way. The name of the message is Divinely Refined. I want you to understand, you see this? We go through this all the time. Every day, all during the day, there is some kind of mayhem trying to stop us from doing what God has called us to do. I may be able to get it on my email on this, though. Anyway, the name of the message is called Divinely Refined and Realigned. You know that I hurt my back last January, a year ago January, and there were many things that were causing. Are you still doing that? Or you can't do it? Is it going to stay open long enough for me to preach from it? All right. Divinely refined and realigned. This week I'm going to be speaking about deliverance. And next week I'll be speaking about inner healing. I have to tell you that everything in my being did not want to do this today. But God knows what we need when we need it. And in obedience to Him, I am speaking and declaring who He is in our lives and giving us what we need. Ephesians 4. Here we go. I have to be like I used to be. Ephesians 4:23. Not even with a book. And be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind. Pastor Roy has been talking over and over again about being transformed by the renewing of your mind, not being conformed to this world. I hope that he gets this up because I have all different versions of the different scriptures on the page, which are amazing. But we are to put on the new nature, the regenerate self created in God's image, in his God-like image, and true righteousness and holiness. That's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to be constantly renewed in the spirit of our minds. Those of you who are struggling with what's going on in your mind, you have not spent enough time in the Word of God. You have not spent a long enough period of time until all that's errant and out of the way, those things, those thoughts, those imaginations, those lies, those destructive, toxic thoughts and toxic emotions, because your mind and your emotions are two different sides of the same coin. Spirit, soul, and body. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And you need to actively engage your will against the enemy. Now, I'm telling you this because some of you are struggling with something and you've been struggling with it for so long that you are out of your mind with the struggle. That's why I'm doing this, and I know that's why the Lord wants us at RCF to walk in that peace. I want you to know very clearly that I ministered to Helen in many, many, many ways. She did not have a happy life. She did not have a good life. She had a lot of struggles, and she would come to me, but she was very honest, brutally honest. And because of her honesty, she was delivered and set free again and again and again and again. There's no other way. You have to be honest before the king in order to receive the complete liberty that you need because of the power of the blood. I love the blood. You know, I was bound and chained and gagged by the enemy. I was. And I'm not anymore. And I refuse to allow him to have even one small part of my mind or one small part of my body or one small part of my emotions to put me in the wrong state of being. I absolutely refuse. And I'm telling you that you can do the same thing as an act of your will. You actively engage your will in line and alignment with the will of God, and you will win and overcome every victory, because that's what God has given you. Every victory. And I will tell you, as God is my witness, it was not what I saw with these eyes. It is not what was going on when I was looking at this. I just talked to Sarah last week when she was over about her hearing. It is present that my daughter is deaf, but it's not present because she has overcome it, and we have overcome it. But I have not forgotten that she's deaf. I have not stopped weeping about it. I have not stopped praying about it. I have not stopped bringing it before the King and saying, Lord, you promised. There's something coming this year. This is why I'm adamantly sharing this with you. This is why Pastor Roy is adamantly sharing every week about getting it to memorize that word. The word is life. I ended up preaching to my neighbor next door this morning. Her daughter has cancer. She's got triplets. I'm looking at her. This is the Karen next door who is mimicking my life, that doesn't even understand what's happening in her life. But she gasped when she came into my house just looking at the pictures of Jesus and the presence of the King that was in my home. I stopped. She has a dog who was jumping up and down. He jumps on me, kisses me, licks me to death. I was on the way to church. I could have just ignored her, you see. Jesus is passing by. Jesus in me was passing her by. I put my stuff down. I walked over to her. I grabbed her. I hugged her. She said, how'd you know I needed that? And I started to preach the gospel to her about the reality of the living God. I said, the Bible is a real living, breathing book. Jesus is alive. Take it to your daughter and start reading it to her. I know you're a believer, I told her. I said, and then I explained to her about cancer cells. I explained to her about the cells of the living, breathing Christ, the Word of God. I said, your daughter needs that. Oh, thank you so much. I feel so encouraged. So her name is Jody. Lord, I lift up Jody. So Pastor Roy and I got in the car. I hugged her. I kissed her. I got in the car, and we prayed for Jody. We prayed for Jody. And I'm going to keep praying for Jody. My niece is declaring that this baby is a miracle. If you heard her and saw her, you would know that God is in her. God is doing such a thing for her. It would take too long to explain medically what's going on, but it's impossible. Her lining is like just went up 4 point something. It's supposed to be 7.5 to 10 to even conceive, to even hold the baby in place. But see, I went up to her and I said, I didn't have to say this. She came in. She said, it's a miracle. She's telling everybody it's a miracle. So I went up to her. I said, Julie, because I saw this in the spirit. I said, God is holding your womb in his hands. He's got your womb in his hands, and he's holding that baby until such a time. So put on the new nature, the regenerate self. Now listen, in this moment, you could be screaming and cursing and futzing around, and you could just say, no, I'm putting on the new nature. I'm going to be clothed with Christ. In that very moment, you are clothed with Christ. It doesn't take a big valley of, oh, my God, what did I do? It takes, yes, right here, right now. Therefore, rejecting all falsity and being done with it, let everyone express the truth with his nature, with his neighbor, for we all are parts of one body and members of one another. My neighbor on this side went away. A stream of water, burst pipe. They were gone for a month to wash the house. We ended up washing the house. You would not believe what the water did to the inside of their house. They're not going to be back in there for months. What do you do? Well, my husband went over there, turned the water off. We called them and went through all these things. You say, Lord, an opportunity. We called them on the way here. I said, look, if you guys want to stay here, we have 2 free rooms upstairs. That's not me. I didn't even think, I told them the other day. So, and they're not going to come in, but if they get stuck and they're there and they're futzing around, I said, come over, you know, the house is open. Come and hang out, you know, I'll make a meal, whatever. So we ended up talking to them, and They see the love of God in our lives. They see the reality of the living Christ. Okay, Philippians 2, 12 to 16. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Let heaven fill your thoughts. If heaven's not filling your thoughts, then maybe you're in sin. Philippians 2, 12. Oh, who said that? Therefore, my dear ones, as you have always obeyed my suggestion, so now only, not now, not only with enthusiasm that you would show in my presence, but much more because I'm absent, like Paul is talking. There are millions of people across the earth in all kinds of situations that live in all different places who are walking with Christ that you will never hear about. They will never go on Facebook. You will never get an email from them. You will never know until you get to heaven. That's where our friend is. She's around the throne worshiping and dancing up and down with the innumerable company of angels, and the spirits of just men made perfect, which is what I told her at one point, which I'm going to share tonight. I don't want to use it here, but there's a truth of the reality of the living God, and that's what we have to know and understand. There's a real heaven. I just read an account of this guy who was swimming in the crystal sea, got refreshed. I'm like, I want to do that. But I did tell Helen, I said, you're going to be swimming in the crystal sea. Yes! Yes! Okay. So not just in my presence, but much more because I am absent. Work out. Let God in you do what he has to do to get you in the place where he wants to be. I had a word a couple months ago. I had a vision. I had a visitation of angels, three angels. One of them was called Purity. This was maybe 6 or 7 months ago. The Holy Spirit, these three angels are going to be traveling with you, and they are. Then a couple, maybe a month ago, I woke up in the morning, and the Lord said, the purity is going to cut through. So if you're not pure, get pure. That's all I'm telling you. And then he said, this is the purity of the new man that's in you and that's in the saints that's going to bring the living, breathing life of Christ. And Jonathan had the same word about purity. I came downstairs, oh, I got to tell you what the Lord showed me. And he said, purity. See, there's a witness. There was such a witness in that moment. It's still there. Purity. Pure thoughts, pure heart. He that has a pure heart will see God. You want to see God. Cultivate. Carry out the goal. Work out your salvation completely. Your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling. Self-distrust, with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. Not in your own strength, for it is God. It is God who was all the while effectually at work in you. God is the one that is working in you. It's God. You can trust him. If you feel like a failure right now, if you feel helpless right now, open your hand and give him whatever it is that's causing you stress. He's effectually working in you, energizing and creating in you the power and the desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and his satisfaction and delight. Do all things without murmuring and complaining. And it says against God. So if you are murmuring and complaining, it's against God. What happened here, John? Wow. Okay. Okay. Wow. Cool. Xfinity, no, we don't want you. No, go away. Okay. Dodo brain. Come on. I'm not getting any results for Google. John, I don't know what happened here. Google's not opening for me. Okay. I used to speak this word to my children over and over and over again. Do everything without murmuring and complaining. I did not allow them to complain. I did not allow them to complain. Without murmuring, do everything without murmuring and complaining. Do everything without murmuring and complaining. And of course, you know that I couldn't complain either, because I was telling them, okay, Jesus, come on. Come on, baby. Okay. It says, don't complain. It says in here, in the Amplified, against God and questioning and doubting among yourselves, that you may show yourselves to be blameless and guiltless. Innocent and uncontaminated, children of God without blemish, faultless. So we can be faultless and unrebukable, right? We can. Philippians 2:5, let the same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility. Okay, you sucker. Okay, there you go. Get over there. Sorry, I'm getting vehement here. Come on. Come on, baby. Come on. So, we can't complain, right? Almost. 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 Open. Almost. Come on. Okay, here we go. Yay! Okay, let the Holy Spirit change your thinking. Everything, and I do mean everything connected with the old way of life, has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it. And take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. Get free of idolatry and sinful bondage. I know, I remember years ago, Pastor Roy shared this verse, and I live in it. Such a great verse. I always go back, and I've been meditating in it for the last month or so. Isaiah 26:12-14. Get free of idolatry and sinful bondage. You can do that. I listened to a message by Bonnie Chobb that's called Unchained Melody, and I've been meditating in that thought. Unchained Melody. It's the life and the song of the Lord that flows out of me and out of you. And when we sing and worship together, it flows up to heaven. Unchained melody. I want to go back and listen to the song because I don't remember how it goes. But I love the concept of an unchained melody. I love the concept that the song of Christ, his redemption, his birth, his death, his resurrection, his life, his ascension, his living and breathing alive in heaven. Oh, praise God. There you go. So, Isaiah 26:12-14. Lord, you will ordain peace. Who ordains peace? Who brings us into a place of peace and rest? Thank you, John. God's favor and blessing, both temporal and spiritual for us. That's what God has given us. He has ordained peace for us. You have to activate that. With your faith, you have to hold on to it, grab a hold of it, and say, Lord, you have ordained peace for me. I'm going to walk in that peace. I'm going to end and begin with peace. God's favor and blessings, both temporal and spiritual for us. And you have also wrought in us and for us all our works. So who's doing the work here? God. You have also wrought in us and for us all our works. Now, here's the scripture. Right now, this is a scripture you can use. This minute, you can get delivered. This minute, you can get delivered. You don't need to go through any big hoopla. This scripture will take care of it because the Word of God is alive and active, is it not? Sharper than any two-edged sword. O Lord our God, other masters besides you have ruled over us. We have to acknowledge sometimes that other masters are ruling over us. We have to actively engage in warfare with our armor on against those lies, against those things. And yes, admit, commit, this thing is ruling over me. Other masters besides you have ruled over us, but we will acknowledge and mention your name only. When I hurt my back, and one of the point, I was laying in bed and I was in horrendous pain, and the Holy Spirit showed me his name over my head. And he said, you know, my name is above your pain, and my, of course, my back is hurting right now. My name is above your injury. My name up here is covering. So since that time, which was, I don't even know how many months ago, my timing is always flying around, but it's been a long time that God has been opening up the scriptures and showing me the power of his name. The power of his name, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that you are Lord. They, the former tyrant masters, are dead. You have to declare them dead before they're dead. Declare them dead before they're dead. Say, you're dead. Uh-oh, your battery is running low. They are dead. They shall not live and reappear. They are powerless ghosts. They shall not rise and come back. They shall not rise and come back. You have increased the nation, O Lord. So that is a scripture that you can use to bring deliverance to yourself. Come to the Lord, listen to him, and obey his will in all things. I've been meditating. These are the two scriptures that God gave me that I've been back and forth. Isaiah 55:3, incline your ear. That means, and I love the Amplified. I love to look things up in the Greek. Because the Hebrew, because it brings a greater meaning to the text. Submit and consent to the divine will. I've been sleeping on that verse. Submit and consent to the divine will and come to me. Hear, and your soul will revive. So if you're feeling like dead horse, how do you get your soul revived? Hear, is what he says. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I will make an everlasting covenant or league with you, even the sure mercies of David. I did a whole study on the mercies of David. I did a whole study on the covenant I taught you. That covenant, the new living, breathing blood of the covenant is yours and mine. Everything, those sure mercies, all those promises that were given to David are given to us. The sure mercies, the compassion of the living God. Get dressed in the armor of God so that you can overcome the devil. I'm going to read this to you. I hope that it stays. Ephesians 6:10-18. Last of all, I want to remind you that your strength must come from the Lord's mighty power within you. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand safe against all the strategy and tricks of Satan. For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against persons without bodies, the evil rulers of the unseen world, those mighty satanic beings and great evil princes of darkness who rule this world. And against huge numbers of wicked spirits in this spirit world. Listen, there are evil spirits in this world. A third of the angels fell down with Satan. There is a devil, and you will wrestle against him. When your flesh is submitted, consented to the will of God, then you don't have to fight him. You have to submit your flesh and let the blood of Jesus do the fighting. So use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy if he attacks. No, it says whenever he attacks. And when it is all over, you will still be standing up. But to do this, you will need the strong belt of truth and the breastplate of God's approval. Wear shoes that are able to speed you on as you preach the good news of peace with God. In every battle, you will need faith as your shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. And you will need, by who? Your father, your brother, your co-worker, your boss? No, Satan. And you will need the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray at all times. Ask God for anything in line with the Holy Spirit's wishes. Plead with him, reminding him of your needs, and keep praying earnestly for all Christians everywhere. Use all of the gifts, all of the supernatural gifts. Now, there's an innumerable company of angels. I have angels in my car all the time. I have angels in my house. There were angels all over that room in the hospital where Helen was. So, why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come to the earth? He gave man, this first Adam, the ability to say yes or no, because he didn't want robots. So the first Adam failed miserably, and all of us would have also. So he came as a second Adam. The enemy still has sway over this earth. He still has sway over us in the flesh, not in the spirit. So if your flesh is submitted to the spirit, the enemy will come and find nothing in you, even as Jesus said. And yes, we can say that. We can say, and we're dressed and fully flowing with the Spirit of the living God, we can say, the enemy came and found nothing in me. So why did Jesus come? 1 John 3:8. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest. To make you feel nice, get you a big, nice house, a cozy car, a husband, children, a good job, a lot of money. Is that why Jesus came? This purpose, the Son of God was manifest to destroy the works of the evil one, the devil. Luke 10:19. Behold, I have given you authority. Who gave you the authority? Jesus gave us the authority. He took the authority, wrenched it from the devil, and gave it to us. Because we are the descendants of the second Adam, not the first Adam, as the body of Christ. Do you hear what I'm saying? Are you receiving this into your spirit? If you receive this into your spirit right now, you will be set free from everything. Anything and everything right now that is tormenting and plaguing you, because the power of God is here in this room. I have given you authority to trample on serpents, demonic and spiritual, and scorpions, and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses. How much power that the enemy possesses? All of it. I have given you all that you need, all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you. I have given you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and physical and mental strength and ability over, see, up here, over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you. Luke 10:18-20. Jesus said, I know, I saw Satan fall, a bolt of lightning out of the sky. See what I've given you? Safe passes as you walk on snakes and scorpions, and protection from every assault of the enemy. Only 90% of the assaults. Only 25% of the assaults. None of the assaults. No. All. No one can put a hand on you. Who can put a hand on you? Say it. No one can put a hand on me. I'm a child of God. All the same, the great triumph is not in your authority over evil, but in God's authority over you and presence with you. That is what we rejoice in, that God is with us. Not what you do for God. This is right out of the Word. Not what you do for God, but what God does for you. That is the reason and the agenda for rejoicing. 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. We use God's mighty weapons to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments and to demolish strongholds. Our weapons are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds, to refute arguments, theories, reasonings, proud and lofty things. These are your enemies, are you listening? That set itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we are down. Okay. Proverbs 4:23. Keep and guard your heart with all diligence. Keep and guard your heart with all diligence. Keep and guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. Now, I am speaking to you about deliverance. I am telling you that you have power over the enemy. I am giving you weapons and reminding you. See, when you are fully dressed in that armor as a Christian, you need to use it, because the enemy wants to destroy you. So you have to be dressed in that armor, and you have to come against the enemy. That's your job. You have to be dressed in the armor of God. Now, I know some of you dress other people in the armor of God. I would rather just say, let them abide under the shelter of the Most High. Job definitely says that there is an inside of us. There's a conscience, people that don't know God. We can pray and prophesy and let them rise up and speak over them and treat them as Christians, but they have to make a choice and a decision. They're not going to use that armor. They don't have a clue what's going on with that armor. You can dress them, and then you need to do the warfare for them, which is okay. It's okay, but you are the one that has to get dressed in your armor, and you are the one that has to do that warfare for them. I did this warfare for all of my children. I can remember, like yesterday, the day that somebody at the back of Pinecrest in Setauken on the grass, I was a total wreck, and they started to teach me about the armor of God. And I started to write it down, and I wrote down the pieces, and I started to dress myself in that armor. And I actually felt that armor get fused into my body. And I felt the power and the anointing of the Lord to flow over me. I dressed my kids. I wrote a song about the putting on the armor of God. Yes, I dressed them before they understood anything. But they know it. And they even sing the songs. There was even a woman who saw me on Facebook and said, "Oh, I remember you. You wrote that song, Put on the Armor of God." And she typed out all the words. It was like 2 years ago. I started to laugh. It was with the kids. But I know the power and the anointing of the living Christ. I know the power of God. I fought for my niece. We prayed, fasted and prayed, and declared that baby to be born, to be, first of all, put in the place in her womb, that the lining in her womb would increase. It was a fluke, even that her lining was increased. It was a fluke. And the doctor, he should have never allowed the egg and the sperm to be placed inside of her womb, because it wasn't even close to being up to par. But there's a miracle happening. So, put away your false and dishonest speech and willful and contrary talk. Put it far from you. And let your eyes look right on with fixed purpose. And let your gaze be straight before you. Consider well the path of your feet. And let all your ways be established and ordered aright. And I remember when God opened up. See, now I'm in this place where I'm reading the scriptures. I remember when you showed me that. He who orders his conversation aright showed the salvation of God. It means conversation means you're living, you're breathing, you're moving, your praise, this praise. I was walking around my house and I just started singing worship songs. I wasn't even thinking, because that's all flows out of me. I just was singing, worshiping. Holding my little Sawyer the other day, I went over to see the apartment. I was holding him, keeping him occupied while Ariel was setting up the wardrobe for Chris. And he lay there. I just sang to him. I looked him right in the eye. He's laying there. I had him on my own. I just sang worship songs. I just kept singing and worshiping God. That's what I did with Helen. I just worshiped God with her. I just worshiped with her. I held her hand. I sang right into her ear, worshiping the King. When I got to Blessed Assurance, she said, "Sing that again." So I sang it again. Oh, I like that one. I'm going to sing it tonight. You know what? Because whatever happened in that hospital room with Helen was godly and divine. It was divine. I've been calling her for a couple months, every couple of days, because I knew she was nearing the end. How did I know that? Because God spoke to my heart. I'm her pastor. I love her. I've been watching over God's word over her life for many, many years since I first met her. She's come through. I mean, I see her like she's in the jungle and she's got the machete and she's whopping. And now she's up there. I saw her already jumping up and down doing that jig in front of the throne, just worshiping with all those angels. And that's what got her. Oh, the angels. I'm up there with all the angels. Joining with the spirits of just men made perfect. She's perfect. Hallelujah. Consider well the path of your feet and let all your ways be established and ordered aright. I don't know where I am, so we're just going to have to wing it here, which is okay. Come on. All right, 1 John 3, 8. But he who commits sin, who practices evil doing, is of the devil, takes his character from the evil one. For the devil has sinned. He has violated the divine law from the beginning. The reason the Son of God was made man, I've read that already, was to undo, destroy, loosen, and dissolve the works of the devil. Now here's a wonderful verse. No one born of God deliberately, knowingly, and habitually practices sin. For God's nature abides in him. What is the nature of God? His principle of life, the divine sperm, remains permanently within him, and he cannot practice sinning because he is born of God. So if you are practicing sinning and you're struggling with something, you need to speak this word and say, no, I am not practicing sinning. It was just like I smoke to the glory of God. You begin to speak and declare what God is doing, who he is, what his word says over your life, and after a while you will start looking like him. That's really what God wants. All right, Philippians. He wants us to look like him. He wants us to act like him. He wants us to be like him. I think I read this already. Okay, I'm almost finished. Zephaniah 3:17. Now I have read this in a few different versions. I had it on the computer, but I don't have it anymore, so I'll just have to remember, which I do, because I meditated on this word. See, I know this word by heart because a number of years ago, God opened this up. The scripture, the song that I wrote, the song of rejoicing, which is on my CD, the Lord thy God is in the midst of thee. He's mighty. Jesus is in your midst. Sing and dance, and he's in your midst. How can you be sad when you have a vision of Jesus dancing in your midst? The Lord God is in your midst. Fear not, O Zion. Let not your hands sink down or be slow and listless. The Lord your God is in the midst of you, a mighty one, a savior, a mighty conqueror, a mighty warrior. And that's what the Lord went, boing, a mighty warrior. Not just the whole rest of the verse, which is awesome. A mighty warrior is in me. He will rejoice over you with joy, and he will rest. He will rest in silent satisfaction, and in his love he will be silent. In his love he will be silent. He will make no mention of past sins or even recall them. He will rejoice and exult over you with singing. He will rejoice. He will quiet you in his love. He will rejoice over you with singing because he loves you. That's what God has done and is doing and wants to do in your life. There's no other reality of who he is and what he is and what he's done except that. That's who he is. That's what he's done. He will rejoice over you with great singing. He will quiet you with his love. Whoops, with his love. I'm finished. I'm going to read Matthew. No, Matthew 6. That's not it. Matthew 16? Yes, I have 6. It's not 6. I wrote it really quick. Okay. You know, if you're not sure if you love God or if he loves you, you can definitely find the word and start speaking over your life, over your family. My children are all serving God in different measures. They're in different places in their walk, but they're all serving God. Matthew 16:19, and I prayed and my husband prayed and we kept praying and we kept training and kept speaking, and now I'm able to speak into the lives of my grandchildren. But you know, that's not my job. It's their parents' job to raise and train them. I just get to add a little icing on top, which is a gift. Matthew 16:19. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Who's given us the keys to the kingdom of heaven? Jesus. The scripture before this is 18. Jesus had an encounter with Simon Bar-Jonah. Simon Peter, who was a wreck, who was impetuous, impulsive, loud, boisterous, declaring all of these things about himself that weren't true as we read the scriptures. But you know, each one of us has a Peter in us. Each one of us can relate, I can, to him, what he's saying and what he wasn't saying. I can certainly relate to him taking that sword and chopping off the ear of the guard. And what did Jesus do? He went there and healed it, didn't he? He asked Peter, after all this was said and done, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And Jesus revealed himself to Peter. Peter said in verse 15, Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's what you can say in the presence of the enemy, demonic forces, anything that's coming against you, upset, emotional, death. I believe in Christ, the Son of the living God. You cannot touch me. I believe that the Christ is the Son of God. I believe. And then Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, a large piece of rock. And on this rock, not Peter, but the rock of the believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. I'm sorry, the Catholic Church has it wrong, but that's okay, because they built a group, an army of believers. But it's Christ that's the rock. The belief that Peter had that Jesus was the living Christ. A huge rock like Gibraltar, I will build my church. God will build his church. And the gates of hell, the powers of the infernal region, shall not overpower it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whenever you bind on earth, shall be bound in heaven. And whatever is already bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on the earth must be what is already loosed in heaven. So let heaven fill your thoughts. Colossians in the Message says, let heaven fill your thoughts. Let heaven fill your thoughts. You can declare and speak the right word at the right time to the right soul that you are standing and praying and talking and displaying the gospel too. You need sometimes to speak in parables, and sometimes you need to speak the living truth of the living God so that they hear. But the name of Jesus is the name that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. It's the name of Jesus. There's no other name. There's no other name. He is the name. He is the door. He is the way. So let's pray that we be that church. Father, we thank you that you have made us more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loves us, that you have declared righteousness, peace, and truth, and that when righteousness and peace kiss, heaven is all around us, that we can walk in heavenly thinking, in a heavenly way, regardless of what's around us. We thank you that you defeated Satan because you are the second Adam. You are the last Adam, Jesus. You rose from the dead and you conquered sin, sickness, and the grave. You have taken that which was against us and put it under your feet. We know, Lord, that we are to take authority over our thoughts. We are to take authority over our emotions. We are to stand and let you rule us. We are to sing a new song of praise and worship unto you, Lord, a song of victory, a song of victory, Lord. So we do. We share and lift up your name because we praise you. We praise you, Lord. We praise you and honor you. And we give you all the glory for all you have done and all you will do. I ask you, Lord, to anoint these words, let them drip with the anointing of the living Christ that you've given me, that your people today in this house and all others that weren't able to come or had to leave, that they also will receive and hear these words, that Holy Spirit, you will loose angels, that you will speak and declare the truth, because you are the Spirit of truth and you are the one who speaks and opens the understanding that we have to have a greater understanding of who you are, of who the living God is, of who you are, Spirit of God. I pray that we would all be comforted today and as we prepare our hearts to stand together in remembrance of our dear friend, Helen. Lord, we will miss her terribly, Lord. And we have suffered a great loss, and yet we rejoice. We rejoice with her in heaven, Lord. And we thank you that she has been set free, that she has hit the mark, and is resurrected. In Jesus' name, amen.